If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation, turn to the 20th chapter. We're in chapter 20. Can you believe that? Wow, we've just gone through the book of Revelation. It's amazing. We're going to take a look at chapter 20. So let's read this chapter first, and then we'll look at the details of it. Chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And we're recording, right, Brother Shaw? All right. Thank you, brother. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, or had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's you and me. Amen. We're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we can see as chapter 20 opens, Jesus is ready to begin his reign here on earth, what we call the millennial reign of Christ. But there's one last piece of business he's got to take care of. Now, he's already dealt with the Antichrist. He's already dealt with the false prophet. They've been cast into hell. He's defeated them. He's defeated their armies. The Bible says actually they've been cast into the lake of fire, which is hell. And they'll be tormented there forever and forever. We read that already. But there's still one last rebel left, and that's Satan. So the Lord's first business in chapter 20 is to bind Satan, put him into the great abyss where he's going to stay confined for 1,000 years. He's sealed up. He can't get out. And during that time, Satan and his demonic hordes will not be allowed to roam the earth. Chapter 20 also says that we, the redeemed, that's you and me, all saints that have trusted in Christ, the redeemed are going to reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years. We read that in verse 4 already in this chapter. That reign, again, that millennial reign of Christ, isn't described in a great deal of details in the book of Revelation. But you'll find many details about the reign of Christ in the Old Testament. You'll find it especially in the book of Isaiah. Revelation simply tells us that Jesus will rule for 1,000 years, and it says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That implies he's going to be a disciplinarian. That he's going to make sure that everybody understands this is what's going to be expected, and he's going to rule with the rod of iron. That's revealed in Revelation 19, verse 15. We read that last time. It's also revealed in Psalm 2 and verse 9. Well, this promise that the redeemed, you and I, will reign with Christ is made in several places in the New Testament. For example, in 2 Timothy 2 and 12, the Bible says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, we'll also deny us. Revelation 2 and 26 declares, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. That's you and me. Again, we'll have authority. Revelation 5 and 10, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Again, that's speaking of the redeemed, you and me. So all these examples of the Word of God saying that we're going to reign with Christ. So a lot of folks would say, now, during this 1,000 years where we're reigning with Christ on the earth, you know, it's kind of like you go back to those images of cartoons and movies and things. Are we just going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp? You know, just kind of sitting back, taking it easy, like we see in the movies and cartoons and things. Absolutely not. No, sir. We're going to be busy because the Bible makes it clear that we're part of the Jesus Christ administration. You know, there's right now in America, there's the Biden administration. Prior to that, there was the Trump administration. You had the Barack Obama administration, the Bush administration. Well, folks, we're going to be a part of the Jesus Christ administration. We're going to be a part of those folks surrounding him that serve him and are part of his administration, overlooking everything in the whole earth. It'll be a great thing, be a part of his administration, won't it? The redeemed, all of us that have known Jesus. And part of his government that he puts in place, we're there with him. We're all part of it, just as a president's cabinet and all the people under the president. But, you know, the good thing is there's not going to be two political parties. Aren't you glad? There's no Republicans. There's no Democrats. It's just the Jesus Party. What party you belong to? There's only one, son. It's the Jesus Party, and that's what we belong to. What a great day that'll be. The government, the structure of the government during this millennial reign of Christ will be a theocracy. It'll be a theocracy where Jesus is both the spiritual and the governmental leader. He will hold the offices of both priest and king. Those offices are combined when Jesus is in control. In fact, Zechariah tells us that in Zechariah 6 and verse 13. It says, yes, he, Jesus, shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. That's the government aspect of it. And it says, so he shall be a priest on his throne. That's the spiritual aspect. He'll do both. And the council of his peace shall be between them both. So get to this question. What exactly are you and I going to be doing? If we're part of the Jesus administration, what will we be doing? I addressed this in some detail back a few years ago when I did a preaching series on the millennial reign of Christ. And maybe we'll go back and take a look at some more of those details when we finish this study in Revelation. But to me, as we're ruling and reigning in Christ, you got to realize the world is going to still have folks in it. It's going to have people in it. It's going to have the redeemed. It's going to have some other folks that are still in the flesh that came through the tribulation. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So what we'll be doing is some of us will be administrators. Some of us will be mayors. Some may be governors. Some will be kings of nations. We'll all be under the worldwide leadership of Jesus. So there's all those offices of government and administration and ruling that the redeemed will be part of. Some of us may just be teachers, and they'll need some good teachers during this time. We'll talk about that too. Jesus made the point in his parables, one of his parables in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 19. He makes a point in this parable in Luke 19, beginning verse 11. He makes the point that there are degrees of reigning authority that'll be part of the rewards that believers will receive based upon their faithfulness to the Lord in this life. Now don't misunderstand what I just said. That is not saying this is a works based salvation. I'm telling you, there's only one way we get to heaven. It's not by works, it's by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's by His grace. But the degree of things that we'll get to do, or authority or rewards, will be based on the kinds of things that we're doing in this life. The Bible is very clear about that. And this parable gives reference to that. Luke chapter 19, begin with verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, He spoke another parable, because He was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore He said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, did not return, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, and then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has returned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to them, you also will be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept and put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you do not deposit and reap what you do not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he already has 10 minas. For I say to you, that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Now that's another whole aspect of what I just read. That has to do with the wrath of God. In fact, I was talking to Brother Lloyd Shaw earlier today that sometimes we forget that this God of love and peace is also a God of wrath, and even Christ, the wrath of Christ, is part of the whole word of the Bible. But what I have just read here in that 19th chapter of the book of Luke is an example of the rewards, so that somebody who's really faithful had 10 cities, didn't they? Somebody else that was pretty faithful had 5 cities. That's an example in the Word of God of the rewards and the authorities that folks will have during the millennial reign of Christ. Some folks will serve as judges. We'll need some good judges. Some will be teachers, be part of this worldwide educational system. Some will serve as shepherds and priests of God. Jeremiah 3:15 and Revelation 20:6 make reference to that. As I say that, let me again just pause for a second and remind everyone exactly who is going to be on this earth during the millennial reign of Christ. First of all, we know we're going to be there, right? We've been raptured. Either we've died and we've been resurrected, or we're alive during the rapture and we suddenly are transmitted to heaven and we're changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We have glorified bodies, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to be in heaven with Jesus, right? And we'll be there during that tribulation period. Then we'll come back to this earth with Christ. We will rule and reign with Him on this earth. But who else is going to be on the earth? Well, first of all, remember, all the enemies of Christ are going to die on this earth. They're going to die. Only those who refuse the mark of the beast, who have been saved during the tribulation, that haven't died. Are you with me? They were living during the tribulation. They didn't receive the mark. They didn't worship the beast. They were born again. They got saved. They didn't die. They survived the tribulation. They will still be on earth with you and me, the redeemed. Isn't that correct? Yes. They'll still be in their fleshly bodies. They haven't been glorified. They haven't been raptured. They haven't never died, have they? They're still in their fleshly bodies. But you and I, the redeemed, we're going to have our glorified bodies, just like the body that Jesus has right now. See, you remember the story in the Bible when Jesus, after his resurrection, and he came back and he was seen by many folks, and he mingled and he interacted with his disciples after his resurrection. And when he did all that, he was in his glorified body, and they were still in their fleshly bodies. He even sat down and had breakfast one time with him, didn't he? We're going to have that glorified body like Jesus, and we'll be living among those that are still in their fleshly bodies that got saved during the tribulation period. Now, those still in their fleshly bodies, that's both Jews and Gentiles that got saved, because they're still in their fleshly bodies, they're going to marry and have children and reproduce all through the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. The population of earth will grow. And each person born during the millennium, each person that's born during the millennium will need to make a decision whether to have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. Because they'll still be in the flesh. The old sinful nature of man will still be in them during the millennium. And it'll be the responsibilities of the redeemed, you and me, the saints that are also on the earth during the millennium, to share the salvation message with those folks that are still in the flesh, that are born during the millennium. But remember now, there will be no evil in the world, because Satan is in the abyss for 1,000 years, isn't he? Satan is in the abyss, and so there's no evil in the world. There's no satanic influence. It's just Jesus and all the folks that were saved and his followers. What you remember, when Jesus returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible tells us that he will immediately judge all of those that are left on the earth, that are still in the flesh. Those that weren't killed during the revelation judgments that came upon the earth, or those that weren't killed during the Battle of Armageddon. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Jewish judgment, the Jews that got saved, the Jews that are still left on the earth, the Bible tells about their judgment when Christ comes back to the earth at the beginning of the millennium. That is found in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. Let me read these words to you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. I will make you pass under the rod. You're going to be under my authority now. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Those that are saved are going to come into the bond, the blood covenant of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I will purge the rebels. Now he's talking to the Jews that are left on the earth at the end of the tribulation. I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress me, they shall not enter the land of Israel. That's the phrase where they're not going to enter the earth and be part of my kingdom during the millennial reign. Then the Gentiles that are alive, and they got saved, and there's going to be some alive at the end of the tribulation that didn't get saved, that didn't die in the battle, that didn't die because of the judgments. And listen to what the Word of God says. You've read these words before. When the Son of Man comes, Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. The sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Aren't you glad Republicans are on the right side? No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say. The goats on the left, the sheep on the right. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he who also will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So at that moment, when Jesus comes back to this earth, those that are still alive in the flesh, that never knew Christ as their Savior, they immediately go into everlasting fire. Those that are on His right, those sheep that have trusted Him, they're going to be with Him in that wonderful time of the millennial reign of heaven. They're saved. So the Jews and Gentiles remaining on the earth after that takes place, after the tribulation, all those that aren't saved, they're consigned to death. All those that are saved, they're alive with Christ in the flesh on the earth. We know that Jesus will reign in His glorified body as the King of the world. He's going to reign from the city of Jerusalem, the city of God. That'll be His headquarters. We're told in the Old Testament that David, in his glorified body, in the millennial reign here on earth, that David will rule as king over Israel. Are you aware of that? You know the Bible tells us that? It's in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 22 through 24. Therefore I will save my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, has spoken. Praise God. That'll be a wonderful opportunity for the Jews, isn't it, to have the king of Israel serving under Jesus, of course, because he's over the whole world. Some of us will be administrators, some will be judges, some of us will be teachers. We're going to be scattered all over the world, working with those and helping those and teaching those in the flesh. By the way, we're told in the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that the lifespans of those still in their fleshly bodies on this earth, when Jesus is here, that the lifespans of those in the flesh will be returned to what it was after the fall in the garden and before the great flood that occurred years later. Pastor, what are you talking about? If you went back and looked in the Bible, if you looked at the lifespan of the patriots in the Bible after the sin in the Garden of Eden, but before the flood occurred, all of those folks that lived in that time frame lived hundreds of years. Did you know that Adam lived to be 930 years old? Yeah. And Enosh lived to be 905 years old. Of course, everybody knows Methuselah, he lived to be 969 years old. Do you realize that Noah was 950 years old when he died? Think about all those patriots, even after the fall in the garden, before the flood, were living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That same lifespan will be restored to those in the flesh during the millennial reign of Christ. By the way, if you go back and you look at the history of those in the Bible, after the flood, it began to dramatically change. For example, after the flood, Shem, he only lived 600 years. So that's a lot, but compared to the 900, it's a big difference. And as you kept going, Eber lived 464 years. Abraham lived 175 years. Jacob lived 147 years. Joseph lived 110 years. Every generation as you kept going down. People who enter the millennial kingdom in the flesh and the children born to them, I believe they're going to live the entire time during that millennial reign of Christ. The earth will experience a great population explosion. Folks, there'll be no sickness. People won't be dying. And it's likely by the end of the millennium that there'll be more people on the earth than ever in the history of mankind. It will be the responsibility of you and I, the redeemed, in our glorified bodies, ruling and reigning with Jesus, to bring those that are born during this time to help bring them to salvation in Jesus Christ, to teach them, to share with them the story of salvation in Christ. Well, and I know folks will say, well, sure, you know, Jesus, they'll accept Jesus. I mean, after all, they'll be able to see Him. They'll experience Him firsthand because He's in charge of the whole world. They'll be under His rule. Of course they'll accept Christ. Well, on the surface, it's easy to think that. But remember this. Jesus was here before, wasn't He? And He was here before He loved and He healed and He fed people and He took care of them and He was with them, and they still nailed Him to the cross, didn't they? There was always somebody that didn't believe. See, the heart of men and women who are still in the flesh during the millennium will be no different than the heart of men and women today and the heart of men and women that were alive 2,000 years ago. Yes, sin will be restrained because Satan and his demons are locked up. But those in the flesh will still inherit the sin nature of the flesh. The evil that's in the world today, just remember this, the evil that's in the world today, it comes from within man. Mark 7, 20, 23, it says, and He said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. What Satan does is he multiplies that through deception. He multiplies that through temptation. He multiplies it through all of his lies. That's what he's doing today on earth. But he won't be doing that during the millennium. But yet the heart of man will still be subject to those kinds of things. The Word of God is very clear that evil is rooted in the fallen nature of man. And the only way to change a man's heart is by the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. So man will be, think about it, really in an almost perfect environment for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan, as we read earlier, Satan is going to be released. And he'll expose the sin of rebellion that is in people's hearts. Now, I'm only talking about those that are still in the flesh. The redeemed, you and I, we've got the mind of Christ. We don't have that problem. But the rebellion that's in people's hearts, he'll convince them to rebel against Jesus. In fact, it says they'll be numbered as the sand of the seas. We just read that in the 20th chapter. There'll be a lot of them. So folks wonder, why? Why would folks rebel after experiencing for 1,000 years peace and righteousness and justice under the rule of Jesus? Why would they rebel? Well, I guess another way to try to think about it is this. Think about what it would mean to live under the rule of the rod of iron in the flesh. Because that's what the description of what takes place in the world is like. The flesh will still want the pleasures of the world. Drugs, illegal sex, pornography, all these things will not be allowed under Jesus' rule of rod of iron. But the flesh of man will still be tempted toward those kinds of things. And any attempt to indulge the flesh under the reign of Christ will be met with swift justice. Violators will be tried before judges. Judges, the redeemed and glorified bodies, part of the administration of Christ. There'll be no appeal. There'll be no appeals court because the judges, having the mind of Christ, will make perfect decisions in every case. So on the surface, I can just imagine there'll be people that give praise and honor to Jesus, but deep in the flesh, down inside in their hearts, and many of them, there'll be a seething rebellion, resisting the authority that's over them. Satan will attempt to expose and agitate that rebellious spirit. We see that in verse number 7 that we read already as he's let loose to go out and deceive the nations against Jesus. This is man's last revolt against God. And through God allowing it, God proves that you don't change people's hearts simply by changing their environment. Think about it. You can't be in a better environment being in the flesh and being under the rule of Christ. A man's heart isn't changed by environment. A man in the flesh, the only way the heart can be changed is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that'll still be true for all those in the flesh during the millennium. Well, the millennium will conclude by Satan and his followers again coming, it says, and surrounding the beloved city. We read that tonight in chapter 20. Surrounding the beloved city. Once again, Satan and his army of people from the millennium, all those that he deceives in the flesh, they're going to come up, and Satan's got one last chance to destroy God's holy city. And they surround it. And the Bible says, fire came down from heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast, the false prophet, are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. So then God, after that event, after that final effort to destroy the city of Jerusalem, and by the breath of God they're all dead and Satan is thrown forever in the abyss, then God will resurrect and judge all the unrighteous who have ever lived, whether they lived in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the church age, the millennium, it doesn't matter. All those who lived and never knew Christ as their Savior. It's known as the Great White Throne Judgment. It's also known as the Judgment of the Damned. It's the judgment where those who ever lived and died outside of a faith, of a relationship with Jesus Christ will be judged. It says they'll be judged by their works. No man can stand before God by their works unless they know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so it says that anybody whose name is not written in the book of life, and none of their names are written in the book of life, none of them are, then they will all be condemned to hell forever. It's called the second death. Verse 14 refers to it as the second death. Anybody whose name is not found in the book of life. Aren't you glad your name is written in the book of life? Well, that pretty much wraps up chapter 20. It's an amazing chapter. It's not very long, but there's a lot in it. What we'll do next Wednesday night is go forward in chapter 21. We'll be introduced to a vision of what's called the eternal state, a new earth. This old earth that we're in right now, and even the millennial reign of Christ on the earth, there's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. And we talk about that and some of the details that are available as we review that in chapter 21. Then after that, we've only got one more chapter, chapter 22, so we're almost through the book of Revelation. And one of the things we'll do when we complete chapter 22, we'll go back. There's a lot of questions that so many of us have about end-time events and Revelation and the details of certain things. And so I'll spend some time, at least one or two Wednesday nights, really delving into many, many of the questions that many of us have, and hopefully those can be answered as we have a more detailed study as we go forward. All right.